Live from the Shangri-La of South County and not from Toronto.
Coming to you from Rust and Tustin.
In the morning, Nathan Penetration.
In the morning, Brian Black.
I just got back from Toronto. It's like the 90s. It's the U.S. in the 90s.
That's funny.
They're so innocent. You just walk right in. All of the people work in security in the airport. They use their brains to figure out whether or not you're actually a flight risk versus some shit that's on a piece of paper. And you just go through a magnetometer. They had the little naked picture machines off to the side, but I just whisked through the whole thing. Nobody talked to me.
Huh.
It was a pleasant experience.
What about customs? Did you have to do any of that shit?
They didn't even talk to me. It's crazy how they have everything partitioned. Actually, I think they went through my whole website. I got one IP from Canada that scraped through like every inch of my site. It was a person because they took time on each page versus a bot, which would hit it and just instantly download every page.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're listening right now. Maybe there's a new listener. All of the stages of that whole process of like getting back home was all done on the Canadian side, which was interesting because on other flights that I've been on, you fly back home, land, and then, I think once we were back here, we showed our passport. I don't remember. But they keep track of your bag and everything. So once you get up to the person, there's no like direct connection between you and the bag that you're carrying on. But on their screen, they have an image of your bag when it's in the X-ray.
Hmm.
So there's some type of deduction that they're doing automatically or manually while you're walking through with cameras. It's just automatically connected with your passport, as far as I can tell. It's a cool system.
Yeah, that's good. I'm assuming it wasn't that way when you left from LAX.
No. It was a bunch of total sexual assault goons lined up getting a pep talk and just running everybody through the naked picture machine, collecting biometrics on everybody's bendy arms and all that crap.
Hmm.
At least I think that's what John C. Dvorak's theory is regarding the naked picture machine.
Well, here's a better one for you. What if they sell that off to the insurance companies? They find out because they have your name and your address and your age and all that stuff before you even go through security. And so they check your ID and where they check your ticket and ID and all that stuff. Like, they know where you are in line already. So if they send you through one of those things, then they could see, looks like their BMI is kind of high. And then
don't they get that through your medical records already?
Well, since Obamacare, yeah, I guess that's true.
You don't need to make a picture machine.
Sorry, there's a bug in my room flying around. They that's a good point. They have that stuff all digitally now. Although your doctor though can choose to withhold information.
Yeah, but they don't now. If they're owned by any large hospital or
talking about private practice, like the doctors that I go to.
You never know, they could be owned. Do they use computers within every room now?
They have to. That's mandated with the ACA.
There's a chance that they got bought out.
I don't think so.
The guy I went to, he's been bought out multiple times, and you never can tell. They just have new equipment when you show up. You're like, oh, we got bought out since the last time you were here.
Yeah, but sometimes you can go to the doctor's office and they don't even weigh you. They just ask you, what's your weight? You could just lie.
Never experienced that.
Like, every time I've gone, not necessarily to a general practitioner, but, like, every time I've gone to a specialist, they still ask, like, they don't weigh you, but they ask you your weight. So if you just went directly to specialists, which you can do, you don't have to go to a general practitioner before going to a dermatologist or a oncologist or any of those special, you know, ENT. So, sorry, let's turn that off. You know, so that stuff you could just all lie about every time you go.
They do cross-examine you.
Well, yeah, obviously, if you look like you're 250 pounds and you say you're 150, they're going to know.
But they ask you questions they know the answer to, and they look at your sheet.
Hmm.
When you see your doctor, if you are telling different stories between the nurse and the doctor, they just ask you more questions.
Yeah.
They're trying to figure out what the fuck's wrong with you. Why would you make stuff up?
Yeah.
So on the trip, I got to check out one of those DJI drones. I think that's the brand. Anyway, it was really cool. You start the thing up and it has to get a fix on where it is with GPS. So just in case you lose signal, the drone doesn't just keep driving off into the sunset until it runs out of batteries and falls into somebody's pool. It actually will return home. If anything goes wrong, it goes back to where it started based on the GPS fix.
Huh, that's cool.
Yeah. And when the wind blows on that thing, it stays really steady. It'll basically stay within a little 6-inch pattern, no matter, well, maybe not no matter what the weather is, but it tries really hard to just stay in one spot. So the camera is on a little gimbal, and the quad propeller system is always trying to balance itself, and the two of them together equal perfectly smooth video. So we were able to send this camera, the drone, up like 100 feet, 150 feet, and then watch the neighbors load stuff into their car several streets over.
That's cool.
It's crazy.
So, and who makes this? What's the name of it?
I think it's DJI. I think it's like a Chinese company. I have no clue though. Let's see, DJI.
The Phantom?
Yeah. I think it's the 4. Wait. Maybe it's not the Phantom.
Smartest flying camera ever.
I don't think this is it.
They have a Phantom 4 Pro.
It may not be the Phantom.
Thing's big. This thing, I don't want to know what this costs.
Oh, it is either the Spark or the Maverick.
So this one's $1,500.
Oh, man. The big Inspire one. That's cool. Yeah, it's the Spark. It's tiny. It would be like a 2-liter beer, one of those big ass beer mugs. That type I'm trying to come up with some, maybe like the size of a cantaloupe. Maybe a watermelon, like a small watermelon. It takes up about that much space. It's a little more shallow, though. Can you see the Spark on their website?
It'd be cool if you could program these things, and then you could have them surveil your house.
I think you can give them a path, but they can only fly for like 15 minutes.
They gotta find a way to put a little gas motor on these things.
Yeah,
that's the only way you're gonna have long time. You can put a little gas tank on it with a little... you know, 1cc motor, if that, maybe 2cc, something you would have in like a little like those gas powered remote RC cars.
I got a better option. Little micro zeppelins.
Micro zeppelin.
Yeah. Little blimps that just float around your yard.
Problem is wind, though, with those.
Well, you'd have to put a little propeller system on them.
Yeah, but even with a propeller, the thing with blimps is they have to have sheer size and they need a metal cage. And
really?
Yeah, that's a metal cage on the inside of those.
Why is that?
They need structural rigidity to stay airborne. Otherwise, they could fold in half and crash to the ground. Yeah,
how about a tethered one? Like the one that the Army uses in Maryland or whatever state?
I guess.
Didn't that thing float away? It was supposed to be tethered to the ground. It was supposed to be untetherable. The thing fucking disconnected and floated away. They lost control of it. Let's look up the story for that. Because it's absurd. This thing can see for like 20 miles. It's got a big old camera system. Army Zeppelin. Float away. Type too slow. Oh, wait, this is all like 1920s. Here we go. 2015. It's like the Moby Dick blimp. It's all white.
Oh, you know what? I'm thinking of...
You're thinking of hot air balloons?
No, I was thinking of Zeppelins, but... Because I'm looking at the Goodyear blimp right now. It is technically still got metal holding it together inside, but it's has individual balloons. So it has a balloon in the front, a balloon in the back, and then it has a support cables holding the little gondola part at the bottom attached to the top. And then there's metal reinforcement. Like it almost looks like metal rope going across the, like, maybe every few feet going across the exterior of the blimp from like tail to the nose. So that's probably what keeps it stable, are those metal, like, rope, you know, steel rope. But that's interesting. I thought these things were like Zeppelins on the inside.
All right, so I linked the story to you. It was an Army blimp that supposedly can, according to Raytheon, it can protect an area about the size of Texas. I don't understand how that works, but 10,000 foot cable broke free, and this like multi-million dollar blimp floated away.
Interesting. I'm looking at it right now. This looks like a blimp they would have used like World War One or something.
Were blimps like this in Battlefield One?
Yeah, they're like the low flying. What they were actually used for in World War One is they'd send a scout to climb up it. And there was like a little basket at the top you could stand in. And then you use that for surveillance. And that's how you would see way out in the distance, you know, or see the enemy advancing. Because in France and the Western Front, everything was flat there. You didn't really have hills or mountains or... And all the trees were blown away from all of the shelling. So this was like the only way you could get a vantage point.
I need something like this to watch a neighbor. Crazy fucking neighbor.
I think the drones, if you could automate those, that would be the ultimate. You could set them on a schedule, be like Tony Stark, where he sends out his drone armor suits to go around and surveil stuff. You have some HomeKit enabled thing where you can like open like this little cage and they just all come flying out.
Like the Wicked Witch releasing her little monkey bird things.
Yeah, and then they just kind of swarm around your house for like an hour or two, and then they go away and recharge.
It would sound like a bunch of bees. That'd be kind of scary.
Yeah, that's the next thing. It's like now with the FAA stuff, and you're gonna because people are gonna, these things are gonna get cheaper and cheaper, and people are gonna buy more of them, and that's gonna be the next thing is the noise complaints. They're gonna have to regulate. They're gonna have to have like drone-free areas because of noise complaints, like how. You know how, like, John Wayne Airport, they don't do any outgoing flights past 9 p.m. because there's some city ordinance for a noise complaint. Yeah.
Okay.
That was, like, part of the deal when they built that airport was that they had to, because all the housing and the expensive real estate in that area, they didn't want noise complaints. And it is loud, too, because, like, we have a couple clients over there, and I, like, will be in their office. And it'll be right under the flight path of the planes taking off, and it'll be like super loud, and the windows will shake and stuff. So,
do you remember when the El Toro Marine Base was operational?
Yeah, I used to go to air shows there a long time ago.
Those were fucking loud.
Yeah, but those were in the middle of the day though, and like on weekends. They still use that. There's a makeshift track that they have there that they use for Top Gear America. They use that as their test track.
It won't be around much longer.
Well, yeah, because the Great Park project, they're building all into that. Yeah. I would never live on that property.
All it's probably toxic.
All the kerosene and the jet fuel just soaking in the ground for all those years. Going back to World War II.
Yeah, there's homes on top of a lot of that now. Yeah. All over the runway.
The groundwater is tainted there, for sure. Assuming there even is any. I think they need to keep at least one of those hangars up, though.
And turn apparently it into something. It's made of wood. The thing's a fucking fire hazard.
I think it's got wood, support.
I think it's all wood.
No, it's got big concrete doors. Those concrete. So. No, I should know they're concrete painted. Doors. No.
Yeah. I was talking to Chris about it.
All right, let's look it up.
Let's consult the book of knowledge.
Toro Air Base. This means nothing to the people that aren't.
Oh, yeah, area. That's true. I do have a sound effect for Chris, though.
It's, where's the construction?
You could probably just ask the Book of Knowledge directly, plain English.
It's interesting. Richard Nixon used it as flights to and from his Western White House in San Clemente, California.
Where would that be?
Up
in the hills or something?
I know he had a place in San Clemente. I think it's where he died, too. I think that was, like, his final residence. Yeah, I don't know. Well, Richard Nixon was born in Yorba Linda, so he's an Orange County person. But anyway, I was going to say, though, they should keep one of those. Even if they are made out of wood, they could retrofit it and fix it and get it up to code. But they could use one of those and turn it into like some indoor theme park or indoor water resort or something.
All right, I have the sound effect that I ISO'd today. Because I referenced Chris, I should play it.
Oh, those guys are fast!
That's fantastic.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I didn't hear it, by the way.
Oh, man. I know how to make you hear it here.
No, it's fine, though. I know which one it is. It's Jeff Spicoli, right?
Yeah, just in case it didn't come through into the recording, I'll do it this way.
Those guys are fast!
There you go.
It's hard to believe that's Sean Penn. He's such a D-bag in real life, but he's so funny in that movie.
Did you ever see The Gunman?
Hmm.
He's in that. It's pretty good.
I know he does lots of violent, dark, depressing movies.
That one is, he's like, a merc that's hired to assassinate somebody in Africa or something like that, some politician, and the deal goes bad, or they set him up, or I don't remember. I'm trying to figure out if I spoiled anything.
It sounds like Crank.
But more realistic, I think.
Yeah, that movie. I watched that with Courtney.
And is that the electroshock on the nipples one? Or that's fucking the second stadium? One.
The first one, he gets poisoned. And so he has to keep his adrenaline levels high and to keep his heart pumping constantly. Because it's a poison that slows down his heartbeat until it eventually stops. So he has to, like, somehow overcome it. And throughout the entire movie, he's doing, like, drugs and, like, all these things to keep himself going. Like, he fucks his girlfriend in front of a bus full of, like, elementary school kids. It's it's really over the top. And, like, it segues directly into the second one, if you've seen the second one. It's like he breaks this guy's neck while they're both falling out of a helicopter. Like, they're both falling to their deaths, and he just, like, strangles the guy and breaks his neck. And then he lands on the ground, and somehow survives. And then the second one is where they take his heart out and they replace it with a fake one. So he needs electricity constantly. That one was so... He's, like, he's putting, like, the jumper cables on his nipples and his tongue. Having him rev the engine and shit. But yeah, he's like an assassin that it's like a botched job or whatever, and they try and kill him.
I want to see Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, I do too. That looks really cool.
It's like the female version of that.
Just and it takes ridiculous place in like the 80s, like the Eastern Bloc or something, right?
Yeah. East Germany. And then I guess she's trying to get out.
Yeah.
It looks awesome.
Looks cool. There aren't enough of those movies where there's like a... You know, like a really attractive, female that's like somewhat believable, you know?
The Americans.
Yeah, like she has that look, the girl in that one too. But like ultra violent though, like where it's blood and gore and stuff. Like there aren't too many movies where there's like female leads like that.
I can't think of any.
Except for Alien. I think the Alien series is the only one. Sigourney Weaver, she's like the main character throughout those.
What about Strike Back?
Yeah, but they'll die.
Oh, I know. American Odyssey. You haven't seen it yet.
Oh, yeah.
It's a one hit wonder.
Tell me about that.
That's good. That's really good.
I think the reason why I've been reluctant to watch that is because it's network television.
Yeah, but it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's like Rubicon. You'll never see it again because it was just too accurate.
Rubicon was good, but it was like, I felt so like, after watching that, it's like, you know that they're not going to ever make another season. Like the whole time you're watching it, you know that it's canceled. So it's like, you know that there's going to be unanswered stuff at the end and it's just a disappointment. It was a good series for sure, but the ending was like open-ended and it was, there was no closure.
The only way to find it is through the Pirate Bay.
It was a AMC series, wasn't it? I think you could find it on their site.
I don't know. AMC. I had trouble finding it. I would be surprised. Like, it was on Amazon, but you had to pay for it, I think.
They have it.
You can stream it?
Channel Nate,
so.
Link to AMC.com.
Maybe.
I'm surprised. Yeah, American Odyssey is very similar. I didn't realize, but the Rubicon logo, the word con is bold.
Yeah.
All right.
What are you drinking?
It's called None. N-O-N-E.
Oh, it's called Pussy. P-U-S-S-Y.
I had enough beer over the last week.
I haven't had a beer in like 3 days. I've been waiting.
For me, darling?
No, I've been waiting for a reason to drink beer. And it's the show night, so that was my reason. But I've been trying to switch over to wine. Just having a little bit at a time. Because it's better for you. And less carbs, less...
Is it?
It is. It's only a glass of... Yeah, a glass of like Cabernet is like 2.7 carbs.
But the alcohol...
Yes, once your body breaks that down, but doing that versus doing shots or drinking beer, which is all carbs and all sugar.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, so you're better off drinking wine, and you can achieve a desired state quicker with less with wine. So you tend not to drink as much because it intoxicates you faster.
So what do you like?
For wine?
Yeah.
I like Cabernets. Cabernet, Merlot. I don't really like whites very much. I'll have like a... every once in a while I'll have like Chardonnay or something, but it's like... I like the red wines primarily. Syrah's good. Zinfandel... But my favorite's probably Cabernet Merlot. Those two. I'm not really a fan of Pinot. Pinot is probably the healthiest one to drink because it has the less sugar and the least sugar and the least carbs. I think it's only like one carb for a glass of Pinot. And then whatever's in the alcohol. Or however that breaks down in your body. But, it's nice to mix it up a little bit.
I think I like some Pinots, but mostly Cabs.
Cab's more consistent. Pinot is it's like either dry or it's very faint tasting. Pinot's more like, I guess more you drink it by itself to be able to actually taste the flavor. Whereas more sweet wine, like a Cabernet or a Merlot, you drink with food. That's the other thing. Wine pairs a lot better with food than beer does. Beer only pairs well with greasy shit. Like pizza, burgers, fries, that kind of shit. But if you want like a steak... Like, have you ever gone to Mimi's Cafe?
Yeah.
They have a pretty good... I like their menu there. They have lots of good stuff. And there's like one right down the street from my place. And so we go there every now and then. And I'll always get a wine there when I get steak. And it's like, it pairs perfectly every time.
Do you have to fight the blue hairs for a seat? Are you up?
Yeah, there are a lot of people for that eat there. They're
all usually asleep by the time you eat. But
the thing is, though, is Mimi's is like open till 11, so you can get there.
They're all asleep then.
Yeah, you can get there at like 9, you're solid.
Yeah, otherwise you gotta fight them back. They'll hit you with their canes.
Yeah.
Or they'll fart on you while they open the door.
Fucking old people, man. Well, it's just like... Okay, let me rephrase that. Fucking old people that have nothing better to do all day but to go to, like, cafes and stuff. Like, every day for lunch. You know, because they have all this time. So they can afford to spend 2 hours on lunch or 3 hours. And visit. Which is fine, but... I don't know. It's like, you know what? This may seem kind of depressing... But I feel like that whole retired lifestyle that like the baby boomer generation had, or not even the baby boomers, but like the, you know, technically baby boomers, but the older ones, like the late ones that are like, you know, late 70s and stuff, they are like the last ones, I think, to like capitalize on Social Security, Medicare, all of those programs. I think by the time we're their age, we're not gonna get nearly what we paid into it versus what they paid into it and got out of it, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm just throwing my money away every time I pay for Social Security because I know that I'm not going to get a lifestyle that can be even close to subsidized by what the payout would be for that.
You're popping a lot. It's pretty much just up to us to make sure that we're funding that ahead of time so that you can cover your own ass.
I just wish Trump would like say, make a new freaking edict or something saying that, you know what? You can opt out of Social Security. Why not? It's already losing money. It keeps losing money constantly. The generation that's taking advantage of it right now is probably the last one that's going to get the full benefit. You know, it's like if we've already paid into it to a certain extent, we could just cut our losses, you know, and then just choose to forego it.
You still need, whether or not you're paying into it, you must fund your IRA and
yeah, if I don't invest. Have to put money into Social Security, then I could put it into my own investments.
Even though you are, you still need to. Because you know that's not going to be there. It's just another tax. If it is, cool, you're lucky, but it's up to you. You got to watch your own ass. Wipe your own ass. Watch your back. And it's easier if you start now. You pay even less in. You just make sure that you put like $5,000 into like a Schwab account or something so that hopefully you can take any of that money out tax-free in the future. And then you can invest.
Hopefully part is what I would rather, instead of putting my money in those types of things, I would rather invest in gold and silver and sit on it because right now it's relatively low.
But it won't pay you. That's the difference.
It will when you cash out. There's always going to be a guaranteed demand.
It doesn't pay you. You're just, I can't remember all the fucking terms.
Yeah, but you're getting paid with ones and zeros when you're doing investments.
I'm saying you're actually getting paid. Versus,
yeah, but you're assuming you have a bank account.
There's technical terms for this, but I don't know them.
I know what you're getting at, but what I'm saying is, let's say government collapsed in the next, like, it's not going to happen, but let's just say it did happen in the next 5 years. Okay, where are you going to be better off with all of these investments that you're tied up in, where these companies can go belly up? They could be completely devalued within a span of a few days, and all that money that you've invested in those companies, and then these other government programs, you know, bonds and stock and treasury notes and all those things, that could all just disappear like you never even had them. But if you got gold and silver or other things, oil,
that's perfect. You can diversify, but you still need some business that you are funding in a sense that can pay you a dividend.
Yes, I agree.
That is income.
If you're retired, yes. You need that.
But you need it now because it can't pay you enough. Even when you retire, it's not enough.
Yeah, but the future, you don't have a crystal ball what's going to happen. You could come into money somehow.
But that's why paying you, because you're young, whether the market is up or down, it doesn't matter if they're still paying a dividend. Coke still pays a dividend.
Unless they become completely devalued.
Consult an investor. This is not investment advice.
No, I don't invest. I'm just saying, I'm making the point for if I was going to put my money in anything in the short term, it wouldn't be investments. It would be things that have value that I can sell off and get money very quickly for. Money in hand, cash. Not computer transactions. Gold right now is low. But
it's not that liquid. It would be hard for you to find somebody who's going to pay you.
You'd be surprised.
Harder than just a transaction that's going to take fucking 4 days. Drives me nuts, all those transfers. You could find somebody on a street corner for gold.
You go to consignment shops anywhere. I mean,
that's true, but they're going to take a cut.
Those cash for gold places are scams. I would never go to those, but places that buy and sell precious metals already that are like a storefront where they sell them outright, that's where you'd want to go.
All that stuff's going to be registered too, and they're going to come and collect it like the 70s.
No.
No?
No, there's no. How do they collect? There's no serial numbers on any of it.
On a lot of gold, there is.
No, I'm talking about like
in the 70s, they went around people's safety deposit
bullion.
Boxes.
You're thinking about bullion. I'm talking about like jewelry, like things that are gold that are weighted and have value. So, like you weigh them, you know how much you see. You read the label: 14 karat, 18 karat, 20 karat, 24 karat. You're never gonna find anything 24, but it's generally like 14 to 20. And you have white gold. You got to know what to look for too, but you can, there's a whole market for people going out and like finding people that sell that shit. You know, they're just clearing out their house for estate sales. You know, they're moving or whatever. Someone died in the family. They're selling off all their junk. You can find that stuff very easily. There's people that hunt for that and they buy and sell it and they make tons of money very quickly doing it.
Have you looked at the Bitcoin price recently?
I haven't been following it. I've just been kind of letting it ride.
Downward.
Let's see.
It's riding downward. 2,300. It's doing fine. It's really high still.
Ethereum's still hovering around 200. God, that's been cut in half in the last like month.
Yeah. I'm tempted.
I was going to buy Litecoin before it jumped up to almost... No, it did hit 50, didn't it?
I think so.
That's crazy. It was 25
yeah,
a couple 57? Weeks ago.
Seven.
Litecoin's going to be the new Ethereum. That one. That's the one we should put money in.
I think Ethereum has more utility though.
Ethereum is the new craze though. Everybody's you can mine it like Bitcoin. So
same with Litecoin.
Yeah, but I think Ethereum is going to be like it's going to have the problem that Bitcoin had very soon. I think because it's a finite currency, so you're going to have too many people that are mining it, too many coins are going to get mined, or Ethereums, or whatever you call them, are going to get mined, and then it's going to be impossible to mine them, which is kind of where it is with Bitcoin.
I think they call it Ether.
Ether.
Well, the problem, whatever the proof of work problem is that the computers try to solve for the mining process, it always increases the more peers solve the problem. So if it gets solved too fast, it increases the difficulty so that it takes more time. At least that's the way it works for Bitcoin, because the idea is that the amount of Bitcoin introduced into the market is slow over time. It's set, and then it caps out at a certain point. There's a diminishing return. It used to be 50. You would mine it and you'd get 50. And back then that was like $50. Big fucking deal. Man.
Can you imagine if you sold those when they were worth like 2,000 or 2,500?
You'd have to wait 2 years.
Who cares? It's 100 grand in your pocket or in your bank account.
Like you said, you don't have a crystal ball. Nobody could have foreseen that.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I think Litecoin will get up there, but I don't see it used that much.
It doesn't have the name recognition. Bitcoin's going to be that's always going to be the chief cryptocurrency just because of its notoriety.
Yeah, it's fun to day trade.
They need to gamify it. Someone needs to come out with an app that makes Bitcoin, if they could somehow work with one of the existing companies like Coinbase and then gamify that to get more people into Bitcoin, you could probably have a cryptocurrency revolution by the time.
How would you like gamify? What do you mean? Beyond, just it's already like real, a gamified version of stocks.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is like, if you wanted to get a younger generation, I mean, there is already the, you know, like people in their 20s are into Bitcoin. But I mean, like, if you want to get kids into it so that you have an entire generation of people that understand cryptocurrency and why it needs to exist going forward, that will expand its, you know, it'll make it more commonplace for everything. So what I'm saying when I say gamify it is make it appealing to kids. You know, the same way they try and teach, because they're not going to teach cryptocurrencies in school. They're not going to teach that in economics class.
Because it's bullshit.
Because it's government mandated education. That's why. And they're not going to teach you.
Well, alternatives. This is hardly even a currency.
It's not. But
it's fun to speculate on. But when you go to actually buy something, it fluctuates so much, and the transactions take so long now that things get crazy. And on July 31st, they're going to be doing something with the blockchain that's going to cause some disruption for an indeterminate amount of time where you can't trust any transactions on that day. Surprise.
Mm-hmm.
So if you bought something, it would say it was confirmed and then eventually just get reverted. Because they're doing some fuckery with the blockchain, and I don't know how that's going to work without updating everybody. But I think the idea is to make the transaction time go down, try and improve performance. But I don't know if everybody's going to have to update their client. And I'm not sure how they can be doing this and have a disruption across the whole network, because this is supposed to be decentralized. Who's got the fucking kill switch if there's going to be a disruption?
That's a good point.
I haven't fully read up on this, but that sketches me out. The other thing that's sketchy is the original Bitcoin client was made in Java by a former Google developer. The Bitcoin Core client that we all use today on the desktop. The fat one that downloads like 120 gigs to your drive.
It was developed exclusively by him?
I don't know. It's developed by a whole bunch of people now, and who the hell knows who they are. But originally, it was some Google employee or former employee, one or the other.
Well, who owns the code?
It's open source. So, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's supposedly that Japanese guy that developed the idea.
Satoshi Nakamura or whatever.
Yeah, Satoshi not real. That guy.
Not real. That's funny.
So what's with this Mac Rumors 1Password story? This fear-mongering about their cloud service, which I kind of agree with, but they've had this, I think, for about 2 years now.
I think the gist of the story is that they see 1Password potentially going the way of other...
like LastPass, where they got hacked.
Where they want everyone to get on that system. They're not going to alienate their existing customer base by forcing them to move to that.
Someday they might.
I think that's the point of the article, is that it could happen eventually.
Well, I support the article then, in the sense that they are trying to protect, I guess, the status quo. Because right now, you can have 1Password on your system and sync things over your own LAN. It never has to touch the internet. And on top of that, the default action when you open 1Password is it wants you to sign into your 1Password account and log into your subscribed profile where you have all your vaults. And I use both because I use 1Password for Teams, which is really handy, and I have a local vault that I can use, and I've used LastPass. I've used a ton of password managers. LastPass just didn't cut it for the team stuff because they don't have tagging. Their one password for Teams web client or web thing is actually pretty good. Is that bong water? What is that?
Yeah. Fuck it, I'm doing it live.
Doing it live.
Well, yeah, I haven't ever. I bought the 1Password app, the pro version or whatever the paid version is for iOS, but I never got it for Windows or OS 10. Because you got to pay like, what is it, $50 or something? And it's only 1 year.
Unless it's, no, it's $50 period.
Okay.
I paid for it in like 2011. It was on sale. I always buy it when it's on sale. I'll buy it for other people when it's on sale. It goes on sale for like $35, but I don't think they have those sales anymore because they have their subscription product.
Yeah.
It's a good deal, though. Seems
like everybody goes to that. Everybody.
That's it's the only sustainable development model.
Yeah.
People expect these updates all the time, and a password manager is a thing that always needs to be updated and improved, and it's a thing you're always touching. Every piece of software that I use touches a password manager in some way. Managing all these customers touches a password manager in some way. And it's good to have constant development there because it basically makes it so that I can pull up a customer's vault, all the ones I have access to there. I can go pull up a system management page, click on the URL. It will open it up in a tab and sign me in. It's seamless.
Yeah.
It makes everything faster. I can also manage and have copies of two-factor authentication tokens, which there's a problem with that potentially because it's not really a second factor in the sense that it's something you have, but at least it's a second factor in the sense that it is not replayable. So it's like 1.5 factors versus 2 factors. But that's better than the customer's shitty 8 character password, which is probably just password with some numbers.
What do you think of the speculation? Well, at this point, I don't think it's speculation. I think it's true. The iPhone 8 is not going to have Touch ID. It's only going to be facial recognition.
Makes me sad.
Well, it's funny because I see conflicting reports. They have this one really reliable Asian person as a source for all of their leaks. They say that it's not going to have Touch ID. Then there's reports that say that Apple is frantically trying to find a solution within the next couple weeks for the Touch ID not working on the glass display.
Yeah, it's probably way less accurate. They probably need to combine both.
I'm wondering if maybe they have maybe they're trying to get that to work, and maybe as a insurance, they are planning on building a phone without the Touch ID at all. Just facial recognition. What do you think?
I want them to have Touch ID.
Yeah. But maybe
I don't want to have to look.
Maybe if they can't get it in this version, they'll get it in the S version or next year's.
I don't know. That's a big feature.
This is the most radical redesign they've had of an iPhone so far.
Like, I think
there's nothing like it. Even that new Samsung phone that came out doesn't have the display going all the way up to the edge.
Oh, but so, they distort it and wrap it around the edge.
I'm talking from top to bottom.
Cool? I know.
Looking at that screen, and you know what's funny about that phone? I've looked at that S8 in person, and the display looks really nice.
super front, laggy.
The front, I'm just talking about like the resolution, the colors and everything. It looks really good. But the phone, you pick it up and you hold it, and clearly the back, you just feel it immediately. It's cheap fucking plastic. And the whole entire back of the phone is fucking plastic. And it's like, why would anyone spend, even with this nice display, why would anyone spend $800 when you can get an iPhone instead?
Is it a nice display if it's distorted?
It looks nice. I mean, the colors are very good on it, and the resolution's really high. I think it's 4K.
I don't believe that at all.
What they do is they blow up the text and stuff. It's supposed to be a 4K display. Let's see.
No. Maybe if it's a pen tile display, then they're full of shit, and it's 1/3 that resolution, and or 2/3 that resolution, one or the other, and they're upsampling. But I don't buy it. That if it is, that would explain why it's so fucking slow. You remember at that pool party, I was scrolling that webpage, and you could see how fucking delayed it was behind my thumb. I'd like scroll down the page, my hand would drag down like four rows of text, and then the image would finally catch up with my finger.
Yeah, okay, it's 570 PPI.
Is it pentile? 570 pixels per inch? What the fuck?
18.5 by 9 display.
Does it say anything about pentile?
I'm trying to see. It's quad.
You could probably just do a
HD
find
plus and quad
for
HD
tile.
Okay.
I just can't fathom pixels that small.
It's not finding anything.
You can't even see the pixels on your screen right now, unless you're 18.
It's a nice display. I'm not taking away anything from the image quality or anything on that, but it's the phone itself is a turd. It's plastic. Feels cheap. I don't know. But the new iPhone, I think the new iPhone's going to have problems.
I'm not sold on any OLED technology. Not yet. And I'm not sold on facial recognition.
Yeah, facial recognition, and it's creepy too.
Yeah.
It means your camera's always on.
That does mean that, yeah. So every time you put your phone down, that camera glances at your dick if you're standing around naked.
Yeah.
What if you could get that to facial to do the recognition? It'd be like using your sphincter print for your touch ID.
You just press it up against the front glass. The whole screen does asshole ID.
That's a good spot to end.
All right.
bringyourwallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. bringyourwallet.com/donate to share the show and support the show. It's episode 201. Buy us some beer so we can celebrate our anniversary next week or the week after. See you next week.
Sayonara.
Oh, those guys are fags!
That's fantastic.